We are in Ezekiel 34, and if you've still got your Bibles handy or open those back up, we're going to walk through these passages. You know, when you have these kind of moments that come up in life where it feels a little heavier bringing the Word of God before God's people, and you're just kind of praying about what, Lord, what would you have for us today? The Lord just took me to this passage here in Ezekiel 34, and I just feel like there's an important message for just for the church in this, of what does it look like to be the church, to be an outpost of the kingdom of God. Because really that's what we are and who we are as the body of Christ gathered together as the church. And so Ezekiel gives this beautiful, beautiful description of the kingdom of God that the Lord gives to him, that he shares. And so we're just going to walk through it just make some observations and relate it to what we do and who we are as the church. Let me pray, and then we'll get into the text. Father God, we do thank you for the opportunity to be gathered, Lord, to come to your word, God, to encounter you in it. For as Jesus introduced himself as the living word, and so every time we encounter your word, we are encountering the risen Christ in the text. And so today, Lord, would you meet us in your word? God, speak to our hearts. Lord, may we be open to what it is that you are speaking to us through your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this passage, as we think about the kingdom of God, the first thing that we are going to see is this, that there is a unique head to the kingdom of God. And so any time that you have a kingdom, in order to have a kingdom, there must be a ruler of that kingdom. There is someone who is in charge, who is the head of that kingdom. And that one that's in charge, when we talk about a kingdom, is sovereign, is an absolute ruler over that kingdom. Right? It's kind of a foreign concept for us as North Americans, right? We've never lived in a monarchy, right? We have a hard time really grasping this concept, but when we come to Scripture, we see this language of kingdom over and over and over again. And so first we have to talk about who is the head of God's kingdom. And so in the first couple of verses here, we read this. It says, "For this is what the Lord God says." So this is Ezekiel's word. This is what God has given me. This is what he is saying to you, Israel. "See, I myself will search for my flock and look for them. As a shepherd looks for his sheep on the day he is among his scattered flock, so I will look for my flock. I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and total darkness." Now, when Ezekiel was ministering to God's people, the time that Ezekiel served, his lifetime, it was an extremely difficult time for the people of God. They were experiencing things that you and I have never experienced. Right? They had lost their land, their nation, their sovereignty. They were now subjected to Babylon. And Ezekiel was with the community of Israel that was in exile in Babylon, ministering to them. So these are people that are now in a foreign land. Right? These are refugees, if you will. Right, and everything that they loved, everything that they were about, is back home. Their land, the temple, all of that, that what made them special in their mind as a nation was back there. And it's in the middle of that that Ezekiel speaks these words to them. Now, a big reason why all of that was back there and why they're fugitives in another land here was because of the failures of the leaders of Israel. God had called them to be shepherds to the people, and they failed in that. So what is the message that God gives to the people through Ezekiel when they are suffering from the consequences of leaders who failed to shepherd them well? God says, I will be your shepherd. I am going to show up and be the one. He says, I myself will search for my flock. God is now going to get personally involved for the shepherding and the care of his people. They were now scattered and in need of a shepherd, but God was the one who is going to bring them together. And this is a description about how God is going to bring about his kingdom, and in his kingdom, there is a king, and the king is it's Jesus. That's what we realize when we get to the New Testament and Jesus comes on the scene. It's like, the king has arrived, right? What did the Magi say when they came from the east? And they said, where is the one born, what? King of the Jews. The king has arrived. It is his kingdom, and Jesus is the king. Now, some scholars will suggest that this passage in Ezekiel is only about a future kingdom that God has planned and in mind. But Jesus, when he came on the scene, what was the message that he said? What was the gospel that Jesus preached? Jesus came on the scene and he preached this, hey, guys, the kingdom is here. The kingdom is at hand. And he continued to give them visions of what is the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom was a present reality to Jesus, and it's a present reality to us because Jesus is the risen king. And so, yes, God is giving some insight into how he is going to lead his people when his kingdom comes to earth, when the whole world has to realize and confess that Jesus is king, and we see that. But this is also what happens when Jesus comes on the scene. See, Jesus said in John 10, he said these words. He says, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find good pasture. They will experience blessing is what he's describing. They will be protected. And he goes on to say, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, when Jesus was speaking these words, and the disciples were listening, and later on John wrote it down for us, I don't think it was just a matter of Jesus just sitting on a hillside and watching a shepherd over there. And he's like, hey, you know what? This would be a good illustration for what I'm here to do. So let me talk to him about being a shepherd. I don't think it was just that. I think Jesus actually had Ezekiel 34 in mind. He knew the scriptures. And he knew the word that God had given Ezekiel to a people that were without hope. And here Jesus has come on the scene as God in the flesh to a people without hope. And he said, hey, guess what, everybody? Remember that what God said in Ezekiel 34, that he is going to come and he is going to gather? I'm here and I am the good shepherd. He's reminding them of what God said in Ezekiel 34. He said, I'm here. I said I would come and do it, and guess what? I'm here. And now I am gathering all of my own unto me. Right? He is out and he is seeking. He is the one who is seeking. In John 4, he said to the Samaritan woman, right? The Samaritan woman. Talk about somebody who is lost, who has gone astray. They didn't understand the scriptures. And he says to her, but an hour is coming and is now here. It's already here. Guess what? What is already here? Then true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, and the Father is seeking such people to worship him. There's that message of seeking out. I will search out. I will find them. I will bring them together. He is the good shepherd in that. It was in Matthew 22 where Jesus shares the parable of the wedding banquet. And in describing his kingdom, he says, the kingdom of God is like this. And he describes a wedding banquet where all of the people who were invited don't show up. Imagine that. Like, can you imagine? You're throwing a wedding for your child. And it's a celebration. And there, the wedding celebration was like a week-long thing. I mean, it was massive celebration, right? And the people that you invite don't show up. People that you care about, people that you love, people that you thought cared about you, they don't show up. And so what does he do? What does the Father do in this? He says, go and out and find anybody who will come. Because we're going to celebrate. Right? We're going to celebrate this. And so if they are willing to come, bring them. Go out and find them. Right? That is what the kingdom is. That is what the kingdom is. It is an invitation. If you are willing to come to Jesus, the invitation is there. And so all of this points to the beautiful truth that Jesus, the good shepherd, is the king in the kingdom, and that he is seeking out his people to come into the kingdom of God. And the church is part of this kingdom plan, and we get to be a part of God's rescue plan for his sheep. The church serves as an outpost of the kingdom. If you are in a foreign land, traveling, and you run into trouble, where do you go? Well, there is an embassy in friendly nations that is a U.S. embassy in that nation, and like you've lost your passport, you can't travel, you know, you're stuck. You go to the U.S. embassy, and guess what? That U.S. embassy is U.S. soil. That is under the sovereign control of the United States of America. The church is like an embassy of the kingdom of God. And this people that make up the church are a people who are not under the authority of the world, but under the authority of Jesus as king. That is what the church is. We are an outpost of the kingdom, an embassy of that. And so the first thing that we have to understand is that Jesus is the one who is the head of the kingdom, and he is the one who is in charge of the church. It is his church. It always will be his church. And that church exists in different communities scattered around the world. And as the kingdom of God goes forth, more and more churches are gathered and brought together. And so he is the one who is calling his sheep together as the good shepherd. He is the one who is building his church. It's all about Jesus, you guys. He is the head of the kingdom. He is the good shepherd. And then we go into the health of God's kingdom. There's this beautiful picture here that we read of pasture land and all this great stuff. So let's look at that in verses 13 to 14. It says, I will bring them out from the peoples, from the nations, and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own soil. I will shepherd them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will tend to them in good pasture, and their grazing place will be on Israel's lofty mountains. And there they will lie down in good grazing place, and they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. See, God's provision in God's kingdom is good. It is good. It is for our flourishing. Ezekiel is using this description of the good land in Israel, right? The people that he's talking to, they have memories of shepherding their own sheep on these good lands that were in Israel. He's using that to help them understand God's good provision for them. It doesn't have to be that he's saying a literal return to the actual promised land, right? It's really about the provision here. Right? We're referred to as sheep in this, right? It doesn't mean that God's going to gather us together and we're going to start eating grass on a hillside, right? That's not what he's saying here, but he's saying the picture that he's giving is that this is a good king who provides, and those who come into his kingdom flourish and are blessed in it, right? God's provision for us is Jesus. And Jesus is the one who will sustain us, right? That is where our provision is in the kingdom of God. Jesus caught this idea in John 6. As he's teaching, he tells them, hey, guys, I am the bread of life. He says, he reminds them, your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. Right? That was God's people when they were in the wilderness after Egypt, and God provided manna from heaven, right? The manna, that word just meant, they were like, what is it? That's what they called it. They just called it, what is this? Right? That's what that word means. And they ground it up and they made bread. It was bread from heaven that God used to sustain them. And Jesus says, hey, that was a picture of me, and I am here as the bread of heaven, and I am here to sustain you, to give you what you need for life and to live it in its fullness. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And if anyone eats this bread, right, that other bread, they still died. But guess what? I am a bread that changes things. And if you have me, you will live. And you will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. He's picturing for them his crucifixion that is coming up, the fact that he dies on the cross. And he says around the table as he breaks the bread, this is my body, right? And he's giving us this picture that life, full life in the kingdom, is because of what Jesus has done, and Jesus is the one who sustains us in the kingdom of God. And so to feed and rich pasture is to be provided for, to be satisfied, to have our needs met by God's glorious provision, or in other words, to have Jesus in our life. This is what Jesus provides for us. As he said, like I was talking with the kids, he says, I am the true vine in John 15. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit, right? This branch, nothing on it. There's nothing there. Right? It's unable to. It's disconnected to the vine. It's not the scriptures of the word abiding in Christ, staying connected to him. It's not good for anything other than, if it was bigger, maybe firewood, right? Stay connected. Stay connected to the vine. Life in the kingdom is connection to Jesus, right? That is what it looks like to be healthy in the kingdom of God. In John 21, speaking of what this, how this really relates to the church, in John 21, at the end of John's gospel, the risen Jesus is there with the disciples, and they're on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he had cooked them breakfast, right? He provided for them, another picture of God's provision. He's still feeding them. He's still taking care of them, right? And then they go for a stroll, and they go for a walk. And Jesus and Peter are walking and talking. John's behind him, taking notes. He's going to write it down later. And they're walking, and Jesus says, hey, Peter, you love me? He's like, yeah. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Was Jesus didn't have literal sheep. He was a carpenter. He's talking about the people. He's talking about the church. He's talking about us. It's continuing that same visual idea out of Ezekiel 34 through John 10, all the way to the end of John's gospel. And what he's saying is, listen, I'm not going to be here. I am going to the Father. And so the way that I am going to provide for the sheep is it is going to be through you, leaders of the church. That is the role that the church has, is to feed Jesus to God's people. We feed them the living word, right? John uses that. He says he's the Logos, the Word of God. And so when we open the Word, we're encountering Jesus and we're sharing Jesus with one another, because that is what we have to offer in the kingdom, is Jesus, right? And so that is the health of God's kingdom, is it is about bringing Jesus to one another, right? Whether it's from the pulpit or in Sunday school or in a small group, it's about the Word of God and Jesus, right? And staying connected to Jesus so that we produce good fruit. And lastly, the heart of the kingdom. What is the heart of the kingdom of God? Ezekiel 34, verse 15, he says this. He says, I will tend to my flock and let them lie down. This is the declaration of the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the strays, bandage the injured, and strengthen the weak. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will shepherd them with justice. So there in verse 15, he says, I will tend my flock and let them lie down. What does it mean for sheep in a field to be able to lie down? They're protected. They're safe. They are at rest. This is peace, right? And who is the one who accomplishes it? It's not the sheep. They don't do it for themselves. The shepherd creates that environment for the sheep. Right? God is the one who is doing the work on our behalf. We don't find rest in the kingdom on our own effort. It's not something that we earn by being good enough. We come into the kingdom and find rest because of what Jesus has done for us as the good shepherd. We enter into that rest that God offers because he has done the work for us. It's not us striving to try to be good enough to be saved, to try to make our way into the kingdom, to try to prove ourselves good enough to be a son or a daughter of the king. That is not the good news. The good news is not, if you just try hard enough and be good enough, maybe, just maybe, God will love you and you could be a member of the church. That is not the gospel, you guys. The gospel is grace. That Jesus died for us because none of us are good enough. That's the good news, is that the invitation to the kingdom is made available to everyone through Jesus Christ. And there is a rest in that. The author of Hebrews says it this way in Hebrews 4, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his, right? In the story of creation, God worked 6 days. Seventh day, he rested. The goal is resting in Jesus. It's not, oh, let me add a little bit of Jesus and then keep working so hard that everybody is impressed with me and that I am the super Christian that everybody thinks I should be. No, it's resting in Jesus. It's resting. Because he's done the work for us. Now, who is it that is invited into this rest in the text? Who is it? It's the lost. It's the strays. It's the injured. It's the weak. This is how that they are being described. These are the individuals that God is seeking after. It is descriptive of those who know that they are in need of God's help. That they already know they're not good enough. They know they shouldn't be invited to the wedding banquet. What on earth am I doing? How did I get this invitation? Those who know they cannot work their way into the kingdom of God. Those who know they do not deserve it. So church in this vision should be a place where the lost and the strays and the injured and the weak are welcomed, are gathered, are healed, and are strengthened. And then God goes on to say, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. Now, this does not mean that God has something against those of us who struggle with our weight or those of us who like to hit the gym and work out, right? That's not what we're talking about here, okay? So if the previous group is describing those who know that they are dependent upon God, who know they are not good enough, then this is a way of describing those who depend upon themselves. The self-reliant, the ones that are like, if I just try hard enough, surely I can find my way into the kingdom of God. They are selfish and not willing to sacrifice for others. They are the ones who take advantage of the previous group, the lost, the weak. Right? They're fat and they're strong because they have been taking advantage of those who cannot provide for themselves, who are in need of protection. But in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, it is the weak who become strong because they have a strong king. It's not because of our strength, it's because of his. And so the strong ones in the kingdom, the ones that God has brought in and has strengthened and are part of the kingdom, guess what we now get to do is we get to look out for those who are the lost, who are the strays, who are the weak, who are the ones that are struggling, right? The ones who are in need of healing and restoration, the ones who have tried it and are like, I am done faking and pretending that life is okay. And they come in and they're like, I'm broken and I need something. Is there something that this God that you worship has to offer me? And we have to ask, is there grace for them? Yes, there is. And so they're coming not to get judgment, but they're coming because they want to be loved. They're coming because they've been chasing this in the world and they find it dissatisfying. They're craving God's grace and hoping beyond hope that when they come through these doors or the doors of any church that's following Jesus, that when they come through those doors, that it's a place where they can be accepted, loved, and restored to a right relationship with God and others. So for the past 10 years, it has been my joy to share with you this gospel of grace. So today, I leave this vision with you of the church and the kingdom of God. That the good news is that the kingdom of God is here and present among us, and that the church, this church, Salt Creek Baptist Church, gets to be an outpost of the kingdom of God. Like that embassy in a foreign land, this is a place and a people who answer to Jesus as their king. And then we look to Jesus for our provision, and it is Jesus that we have to offer to others. And we get the special privilege of inviting others to come in and to find rest in the beautiful kingdom of God. Rest from the striving, from the selfishness, from the sin, from the shame, all of those things that beat us up and wear us out and make us want to give up. So when they come in, don't pile that stuff on them, but love them. Share God's grace with them. Share God's goodness with them. Because that is what they need from God's church. It's not about earning our place in the kingdom, but it's about trusting Jesus and receiving the new identity as a child of the King. Amen. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you include us in your kingdom program. And that in every town, in every place where your people are gathered, Lord, this gospel of grace is being proclaimed. And so, God, may this people here at Salt Creek that you have gathered, that Jesus is the good shepherd over, may they continue to be as an outpost of the kingdom, a place where grace and forgiveness and love is real, where the broken, the lost, those that your heart reaches out for, Jesus, that they are able to come and find a place that is unlike any other that they have encountered. And that they become so in awe of the people here and how they live and how they care and love for one another that they say, I want that, Jesus, because I want to be like his people. So God, do that work in us. Continue that good work in your people here at Salt Creek to your praise and glory, Jesus. We pray in your name.